Hello and welcome to the final episode of Season 3 of Pop Fix, your weekly fix of pop culture news and gossip. I'm Marnie Dixit and I'm joined, as always, by my lovely co-host, Summer Rose.
Hello.
And Steph Nuzzo.
Hi, guys.
Now, I've got to ask, but I do feel a bit weird asking as we're all together, but how were your Halloweens?
Oh my gosh, so good.
Excellent. I was in delightful company.
Same here. What a coincidence.
What a coinky dink. Coming up, we are going to chat about the loss of a TV legend, a potentially odd celeb couple, the allegations against Zayn Malik, which are very confusing, and so much more. But right now, let's get into your pop fix where we fill you in on everything that's happened in the entertainment world this week.
So Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson kicked off romance rumors over the weekend after they were spotted holding hands while on a ride at Knott's Scary Farm.
I'm so confused about this.
Yeah.
How does he keep getting these?
I know. He's like, this has been, I mean, I'm going to read out some tweets a bit later on, but like, that's the kind of thing. It's like, this guy is everywhere. He has dated everyone at this point, right? But yeah, so obviously when this photo of the pair emerged, the internet, you know, it just exploded with intrigue, essentially. So I've taken a little bit of a look at what people are saying. There has been one comment from a source, so this is the basic deal of the whole situation. Pretty soon after the photo emerged of the pair sitting side by side and holding hands while on a roller coaster, a source reached out to People to shut down the gossip, essentially. They hang out in the same circles, so they will be together from time
How
to time.
How though? This is so different.
Oh, I've got the answer.
Oh, okay.
So I've got the answer.
Keep going.
Because I know personally. No.
Oh, excellent.
I just read some things that people wrote. Basically they said it's just friends hanging out. So apparently the connection is that Pete Davidson is pals with Kourtney Kardashian's new fiancé, Travis Barker.
Oh, that's true. They are.
Through a mutual friend and Mr. Weed himself, Machine Gun Kelly.
Oh, Mr. Weed himself.
Mr. Weed.
So, yeah, like, it does kind of check out, right? Because they would be hanging out as a group, I would assume.
But why are they holding hands, though?
But the timing is a bit interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. True. Mm-hmm. They kissed on SNL?
Exactly right. So people are kind of like, it's convenient that just, you know, a few weeks after you were seen kissing on SNL, now you're best buds hanging out on a roller coaster and holding hands. I don't know. I mean, look, the kiss was pretty blah. It wasn't exactly like...
There were no sparks for you, hey?
It was a bit flat. Okay. But I'm just saying, it didn't look like they were so into each other.
Yeah, well, yeah, maybe they're not.
But you got to question it, right?
Of course.
So I don't know. According to Twitter, people seem to think that Dave Dashian or Keith... I don't know. I'm trying to think of a name, guys. What do you think
Pete?
Of those?
Pete, so Dave.
Pete.
Dave Dashian.
Dave Dashian. Sounds like a dog breed.
Is that another Kardashian I haven't heard of?
They think it's a thing. So.
Oh, they do think it's a thing.
Twitter does, yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought, okay, sorry. I got confused.
Sorry, it's because I went on too much of an aside just then. And made that
I think
confusing.
It's my brain, sorry.
No. But some of the funnier tweets that I saw were at Chandler Monica, lol at that
iconic.
Name.
Iconic.
Lol, yeah.
Wrote, convinced dating Pete Davidson is like jury duty for celebs and most people will be called to do it at least once.
Totally. Totally. Yeah.
It's just on the list. I don't know.
Agreed.
Run Your Money shared.
Ooh.
Pete Davidson. Pete Davidson's getting passed around like a middle schooler vape, which we don't have middle school here, but we understand what you mean.
We understand.
Run Your Money. But one of my favorites that I've seen is from B6T Girls, who wrote, Pete Davidson dick must be life-changing because that's why he is literally everywhere.
Well, Ariana wrote that song about him, so.
Yeah. What's that? BDE. That was born because of Pete Davidson.
Well, yes.
There you go. I don't know. No one has made any official statements, obviously. It's all kind of just rumors at this point. So we have to wait and see. But honestly, I kind of don't hate it if it's real. I'm sort of digging this Dave Dashian vibe.
I'm weirded out.
You don't like it?
I'm so confused. Like, I can't.
I like it because it's Pete Davidson and he's funny, and I kind of want to know how Kanye will react to. So I'm keen to know what will happen.
Yeah. I think that because I like Pete Davidson, it makes me like Kim more, which...
Wow. Mm.
Anyway, we'll see. In much sadder news, Australian entertainment icon Burt Newton passed away on Saturday, October 30th, age 88, leaving a giant hole in the industry he held such a storied career with for over 60 years. So as the ABC has reported, Newton died while in palliative care in Melbourne, and it was just minutes after his wife of 46 years, Paddy, left his side for the last time. Yeah. She spoke of the emotional moment, saying, "I missed him, just. But maybe he didn't want me to be there for his last breath, so he probably left without me there, which is probably a good thing." She went on to share that although the loss of her husband has been understandably incredibly difficult, the wave of support and love that her family has been met with has certainly been felt. "All our hearts are breaking, but the outpouring of love has been fabulous," she said. "I think if he's looking down on us today, he would be just so thrilled to hear the Prime Minister and all the people that he admires so much making these lovely statements." So there are a few Aussies who can say that they aren't familiar with the work of Burt Newton, right? Like, over the course of his career, he hosted some 19 Logies nights, and he led Good Morning Australia for almost 14 years. He also wrote an autobiography, recorded a bunch of singles, featured in 4 films. And in addition to that, he was made a member of the Order of the British Empire in 1979. And in 2006, was made a member of the Order in Australia.
And he also did, like, musicals and stuff like that.
He's basically done everything you can do in the entertainment industry.
Yeah. So crazy.
It's like a real legend of, Aussie TV. But yeah, I think like probably the most significant element here is that his face is just one that Aussie families have known well for 6 decades, right? And he was also really well loved by many of his colleagues. I think though that what Dan Andrews said about in a statement about his passing was a really lovely tribute. I don't know if you guys heard it, but he said, "We have never known TV without Burt. He was there from the beginning, from black and white to colour. As TV changed, Burt endured. But above all his achievements, he was a family man, and his greatest partnership was with his wife of almost 50 years, Paddy. Our thoughts and prayers are with her, their children, and their grandchildren." So Paddy and Burt shared 2 children, Matthew and Lauren, and he has 6 grandchildren as well. So a really big loss.
And there's going to be a state funeral for him.
Yeah.
Not sure when, but...
They're going to announce some details on that soon, I believe.
A big loss. Speaking of sad stories, we spoke last week about the accidental shooting of cinematographer Helena Hutchins on the set of the movie Rust, with Alec Baldwin being the person that accidentally fatally shot her. And the armorer on the set of the film, who we also spoke about last week, Hannah Gutierrez Reid, has actually broken her silence, and she blamed producers for the unsafe working conditions. And the 24-year-old also said that she has no idea where the live rounds came from.
How old is she?
So the state, 24.
24. She's so young.
So young. And so the statement that came out was signed by her lawyers, and it says, "First, Hannah would like to extend her deepest and most sincere condolences to the family and friends of Helena. She was an inspirational woman in film who Hannah looked up to. She also offers her thoughts and prayers for a speedy recovery to Joel. Hannah is devastated and completely beside herself over the events that have transpired. It continued, she would like to address some untruths that have been told to the media, which have falsely portrayed her and slandered her. Safety is Hannah's number one priority on set. Ultimately, this set would never have been compromised if live ammo were not introduced. Hannah has no idea where the live rounds came from. Hannah and the prop master gained control over the guns, and she never witnessed anyone shoot live rounds with these guns, and nor would she permit that. They were locked up every night and at lunch. There's no way a single one of them was unaccounted for or being shot by crew members, because we heard last week that there were rumours by TMZ saying that they're being used as for target practice. Hannah, still to this day, has never had an accidental discharge. The first one on this set was the prop master, and the second was a stuntman after Hannah informed him his gun was hot with blanks. The statement continued saying that Hannah had been hired for two positions on set, making it extremely difficult to focus on her job as armorer. She fought for training, days to maintain weapons, and proper time to prepare for gunfire, but ultimately was overruled by production and her department. The whole production set became unsafe due to various factors, including lack of safety meetings, not the fault of Hannah. The statement finished by saying Hannah and her legal team will address more of these rumours and the whole incident in another statement this week. There's also been video that the Daily Mail got of Alec Baldwin talking to some paps because they've been following him all day and he's trying to get them off his back just by answering a couple of questions. And he says that he can't really talk about the investigation because it is a current ongoing investigation. Mm. But he does tell them that Helena was his friend and that the first night that they got to Santa Fe to shoot the film, he took her and Joel Souza, the director, out for dinner and just described the shooting as a horrible event. There's also this moment that, like, the whole video is quite strange because Hilaria Baldwin, his wife, the not Spanish woman, tells the reporters, you know what? No more details. Like, she is all up in their grill. She's, like, filming them the whole time. And he just goes to her, do me a favor. I'm going to answer the question. Like, oh, he's wow. Just like, you need to shut up.
Yeah.
That's awkward.
Clearly, yeah. She's just trying to be supportive, but
she's trying to be like, I'm like, you know, stop following us. I'm going to tell you.
Going to help him, though, is it?
Totally. And he also said that he speaks with the police every day, but he can't speak about the investigation. And he also spoke of meeting with Helena's husband and said that he was overwhelmed with grief. And he described the incident as a one-in-a-trillion event.
Yeah.
They also asked him a lot about gun safety, and he was like, look, I'm not the expert in that. I will let the experts deal with that, and I will follow their lead. But yeah, it's you can just tell, like, he's just not okay, and they've tried to escape.
How could you be?
I know these paps are just following him everywhere, and he's like, I am doing you this service so that you will please leave me alone. My kids are crying in the car over there, please leave us alone. And then Hilaria is just like in their face being like, yeah, piss off.
The like, hype woman.
Yeah. And then he's like, I do not need you to do that. But yes, very, very sad. Moving on to the pop report, Sama, what is going on with Zayn Malik and Gigi Hadid and her mum?
Oh my gosh, there's so much going on. So last week, Zayn Malik was accused by Yolanda Hadid, his mother-in-law, for striking him. So allegedly he shoved her into a wardrobe and called her a fucking Dutch slut, which is... charming.
Not something you'd say to your mother-in-law.
Not usually, no. He also said to stay away from his daughter Kai, and he also said that the sperm came out of his cock, allegedly. I know, weird. What a weird thing to say.
Ugh.
But according to TMZ, this happened when Yolanda came by unannounced to, I think, Gigi's house, or I can't really tell. But apparently Gigi wasn't there. But then according to TMZ, Zayn's also allegedly harassed Gigi, saying, quote, strap on some fucking balls and defend your partner against your fucking mother in my house. So really aggressive things to say. So shortly after the news broke that Yolanda announced that she had been struck by Zayn, Zayn released a statement saying he wants to protect his daughter's privacy and continue to co-parent her, which tipped a lot of people off that Zayn and Gigi are no longer together, which they've been on and off for many years. But
yeah.
As far as we all knew,
the first thing that I noticed. I was like, oh.
Yeah, well, yeah. That term only means one thing.
Totally.
But in his statement, he also... So he was the one that also, that said that Yolanda came around to his partner's house. So yes, it's kind of confusing.
It is.
Yeah. But according to a few news outlets, they have officially split after this. In another statement, Zane adamantly denied striking Yolanda and asked her to actually remove the allegation for the sake of Kai's privacy. But despite this denial and plea to stop the allegations, Zane pled no contest to the harassment and he was fined. He's also on 90 days probation for each count, and I think it's... Someone check my maths, but I think it's 4 counts, so totaling over a year, essentially, for probation. Nice. Yeah, and he also has to do mandatory anger management class and a domestic violence program.
Sounds like he needs it.
Oh, yeah. Allegedly. I don't know legally what we're allowed to say with this.
Yeah, 100%. But
it sounds like he's officially... In one way, he's denying it, and the other way, he's saying, yeah, I'm not going to fight you
contest
on this.
It.
So no contest is different to guilty, though, right?
I don't know legally what that means.
Mm. I've just never heard it being used before. Yeah. So I saw that said, and I just was a bit...
Yeah, you would assume that it's like, I'm not going to fight this, as opposed to not guilty. Yeah, that's a good point, Steph. Mm. And on top of that, he's not allowed any contact with Yolanda. So since this has happened, a few people have come out with their own theories as to what led to this fight. Mm-hmm. But before I get into that, I kind of want to know your reactions to the story, what you think of the whole thing.
I thought it was just so shocking immediately because it was like the headlines were all that he had hit her.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was just, and I mean, I don't know, it sounds like from what the allegations say that maybe he pushed her into something. I mean, into I'm not saying any of it's good.
No, no. But you assume punching, right? Yes. When you hear hit, yeah.
That's kind of what I, in my mind, thought. But yeah, just shocking. And then just the, you know, he was dumped by his music label. Mm. It's, I don't know, this guy doesn't seem like he's totally well. And I think mm-hmm. that maybe all those years of being in One Direction, he never liked it. I don't think he ever wanted to be this famous.
Mm. Oh, that's interesting. Maybe.
Because he was a kid when fame came to him, right?
Yeah.
And the thing about the music label, it was partly to do with this, but was it also partly to do with drugs as well?
Oh,
I haven't fully read into it, but I think there was concerns that he would go into... I think there was a photo of him that looked like marijuana. I'm not sure.
Oh, no. Okay.
But there's a lot to the story, and you try to read up on all of it, but, yeah, there's so much.
I did also see an idea of where this stemmed from. So I saw that it was apparently all over a photo that Yolanda put up where you can see Kai's face in the mirror. And she didn't think it was a huge deal, but obviously Zane very much did. And she deleted it soon after, but the damage had already been done. And, you know, Zane and Gigi have been doing everything that they can to maintain Kai's privacy ever since she was born. And I think Zane doesn't want Yolanda to think that she can do what she did with Gigi and... What's her face? Bella?
Bella, yeah, because they were raised on... reality TV.
Yeah, she put them on that, so the Real Housewives. So he's just like, we have very different values in that respect.
Yeah, so it's interesting that you brought up that picture because that's kind of, yeah, where all these theories are going to. But I'm pretty sure she immediately took it down once she realised, because people were like zooming in to look at the reflection of Kai's face, which I think is really creepy.
I was just about to say it's very creepy.
Especially when you know, like I'm not a huge fan of Zane or Gigi, but I know that they don't show their child's face. So even if you were a fan of them, zooming in, that's kind of awful, I think.
Yeah, but I just feel like that's what people do as soon as like they're curious, as soon as they get any kind of access to their family life, private life, people are going to jump on it. It's sad. I don't know. Yeah, I've kind of like seen this stuff floating around, and it's been a sad story.
Yeah.
Especially someone who's been such a, like, famous trajectory, and he was part of one of the most beloved boy bands, and then you have his former bandmate, Harry Styles, who's just, like, flawless.
Yeah, totally. Totally, so true. I was thinking with the, like, zooming in on the face, like, I think that they are two very beautiful people, like, beautiful-looking people, and I think people would have a fascination with that baby.
They're like, is this baby gorgeous as well?
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. It's like, I mean, not to the same level, right? But remember when Shiloh Pitt was born?
Yes. Oh, I reckon.
Jolie Pitt, sorry. And, like, everyone was obsessed with finding out what that baby looked like.
That was a beautiful baby.
Yeah. She's still beautiful. But, like, everyone was just like, we need to know. And obviously, Gigi and Zayn are not Brad and Angelina, but there's just this, people have, like, you know.
I still remember those photos. Session. This is, like, back in the magazine days, the photos of Knox and Vivian, the first ones, and Knox is wearing, like, that little, like, what do you call it, like a Baker Boy cap kind of thing. He's like an old man, but like a little baby. So but yes.
Kids have had such good style since birth.
Yeah. It's so true. Like, I guess it's because now we have Instagram. They sort of have a bit more of a, like, say, and I think now a lot of celeb parents do the same thing. And then if they were ever seen out and about and they were papped, you would have to blur that baby's face.
Yeah. I think
the laws have changed.
Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher, no one's ever seen their kids, right? Or am I making that up? Because they're always,
I think,
blurred.
There was a photo, but maybe he was wearing, like, a costume or something.
Okay. Mm. Yeah, because, yeah, I'm pretty sure they're always blurred. But the other story I wanted to chat to you about, now, I will have a disclaimer. I don't know how real it is because it comes from a gossip website called All About the Tea, I think. Something like that. All About the Tea, yeah. And it's 5 years old, this story, but it's resurfaced because of this fight Zayn and Yolanda have had. So apparently, 5 years ago, very early on in Zayn and Gigi's relationship, Yolanda held an intervention to cure Zayn's anxiety. Have you heard this story?
No.
No.
What?
Again, not sure if it's real, but I kind of want to entertain the idea.
Sure.
So, according to, as I say, All About the Tea, Yolanda got Zayn and Gigi over to her house, where 6 holistic healers were chanting, and then they were throwing frankincense on Zayn and speaking in tongues, trying to cure him of his anxiety. And apparently she had Lyme's disease, I think, and she's cured it herself. Yeah. So she's always, you know, proclaimed that holistic healing is the way to go. And then apparently the next stage in this anxiety cure would, according to a doctor, allegedly, Zayn would have to have a leech treatment to drain his blood. And then they would give him the blood of someone who doesn't have anxiety.
No,
and that
stop
would
it.
Cure him.
Stop it. Stop.
Imagine if this story is true. Right. Like, could you imagine 5 years of being around that person who has tried to cure your anxiety by, honestly, that situation would make me more anxious.
Of course.
Like, I think this tension has started from a very bad place, and that photo in January is a recent occurrence, but, like, these are just,
imagine if that is real. I am shooketh.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't justify him calling her those awful things and shoving her, but clearly they haven't had a good relationship.
My God. And weren't they all, like, quarantining together, like, during lockdown? Because, obviously, she was pregnant.
Yeah, true.
And, oh, my God. Too much. This story is too much.
It's wild. And also leeches. Did we not stop that, like, 100 years ago?
Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah, that's way gone.
What about you guys? Would you try leeches for anxiety?
No. Oh my God. If I put a leech on me, my anxiety would skyrocket. And then if somebody else's blood was just, you know, given to me procedure with a doctor, then I'd be so anxious too because I'm like,
am I going to die?
Yeah.
This is a tangent, but I can imagine, like, in 50 years time or 100 years time, people would be like, people used to take medication for their mental illnesses. How crazy is that? And then they've got something else completely, like teleportation. I don't know. Don't know how that would help, but
teleportation helps
mental brain teleportation.
Cool. Brain teleportation. Never know.
Mm. All right, we'll be back in just a moment for Is It Worth It and Reality Roundup. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Twitter. We are at PopFix Podcast. If you're enjoying the show, guys, we would love it so much if you left us a 5-star rating and review. Or you can spread the word by sharing a screenshot to your Instagram story and let people know that's how people find us. And, you know, it's just good for the world. You're listening to Pop Fix and it's time for Is It Worth It? And I have got a little, I don't know if I would actually say a recommendation. I've got something to share with the class. So I have been watching the new season of Love Life starring William Jackson Harper. And if I'm not mistaken, wait, Steph, have you watched this or have you both watched this season?
I've watched a bit of the first season.
Okay. Steph, you've watched this one.
I'm completely up to date.
Okay,
sorry, not Sex Life, Love Life.
Love Life.
I've watched both, though. Anyways.
Okay. Yeah. Love Life. No, I think we would all know if there was another season of Sex Life. Okay, so it stars William Jackson Harper, and because it's an anthology series, you can skip right to this one if you really wanted to. I wouldn't, but if you wanted to, that is a thing that you can do. So in season one, we meet Darby. She's in her 20s and we follow her through all of her relationships, basically, until she meets the one. But we meet Marcus at the tail end of his marriage to a woman named Emily. And when we first meet him, he begins flirting with another woman, and you can see where this is going, right? They think it's a harmless friendship because they're both in relationships, but it's not. It really isn't. And there's one scene in the first episode where a guy basically very casually dismantles this guy's... What's his name in the show? Marcus?
Yeah, Marcus.
He just dismantles his personality, describing him as Barack Obama. And to Marcus, that translates as boring. He sees his job as boring, his marriage suddenly...
Wait, Barack Obama translates to boring?
To him, yeah.
And, what?
Yeah. And, yeah, his president. Marriage suddenly seems boring. And he asks his wife who, like, which celebrity he would remind her of. And she says, Obama. And she says, it's a compliment. She's saying it as a compliment, I should say. But he takes it as the fact that his life has become really dull. And...
Again, it doesn't add up in my brain.
Yeah.
Barack Obama, not boring at all.
But, like,
I feel
you
like
just...
Everybody just says Barack Obama, though, to any, like... Like, if you're a black guy and then people go, you like Barack Obama, I feel like you get overhearing that.
Oh, okay, yep. Anyway.
And, yeah, I mean, look, I'm not super into it. I'm going to keep giving it a chance, but it's not my favourite thing. I think I'm just watching it because I want, you know, some light entertainment. I enjoyed the first season, but I'm not loving it. I feel like I'm watching it in the same way I sort of watched Emily in Paris. Emily
wow.
in Paris. I mean, okay, maybe not to that extent,
That's
but I'm just not into it. I'm not into him. I know that you like him, Steph, but I'm not into it. I think that he's just, like, so negative and, my life sucks. And it's like, oh, could you have put some effort into your marriage and made it work? Or no?
Okay. I agree that he fucked his marriage, like, yeah. And that he was stupid. But I think that he also is aware and that he is... remorseful, but he like also is a lost person, so he is trying to figure himself out. And I think Darby is the same. I think she was annoying as shit to start with.
I think I just enjoyed watching it from a girl's perspective more, maybe.
Maybe, yeah, because then you can kind of relate.
Yeah.
I think because I like the actor, and you know, I really enjoyed him as Chidi in The Good Place.
Oh my gosh, it's that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know anything about the second season. He's great, though.
Yeah, so I think that I've started watching it from a positive place because of that. So that could just be, like, my bias. But, I don't know. I think it'll be good. I feel like...
I'm going to keep watching
it'll
it.
Get better, yeah.
But I'm just not sold. And I've watched three episodes, you know, like...
Yeah. Fair.
Do better.
But I do think that maybe Emily is the one that is having
you're gonna need to explain this a bit more.
Yeah, I'm gonna give a spoiler away, so if anybody doesn't wanna listen to anything from season one, don't listen.
Maybe but, don't mention names then.
I kind of have to.
Okay, go. Yeah.
So I think that, and I could be wrong here because I can't find specifics, but my roommate and I were chatting about Emily because Emily works with, is his name Magnus?
Magnus, yeah.
Yeah. So Magnus is Darby's first husband in season one, and Magnus starts to kind of have an emotional affair, maybe physical, I don't know, with somebody he works with. And I think it might be Emily. So I think now the wife who had something bad happen to her with her husband Marcus might have gone and done a similar thing back to Darby. But I don't know. I mean, I could be wrong there, but I think that might be how they're all connected.
Fair enough. Moving on from this show to the – you saw the prequel film to The Sopranos, The Many Saints of Newark.
I did.
How did it – you know, your expectations, did it meet it?
No.
Oh.
Not at all.
I did not like it.
At all.
It's so disappointing.
I just – okay. I think – there were some moments that were good, but I thought that there was no storyline to
it. But the show is so good.
What storyline is it trying to take you on?
Well, I kind of felt like it was... So it's supposed to be following the story of Dickie Moltisanti, right? Who, if you've watched The Sopranos, that is the father of Christopher. And Christopher is, like, probably the most popular character in The Sopranos show.
Don't mind me. I'm just Googling what he looks like.
Yeah. And
ah, yes.
I mean, he's my favourite character. Yeah, he's the one who Tony kind of... Tony's a bit of a father figure to him in the show.
I loved him up until a point. I'll put that out there.
Yeah. Up until a point, that's fair enough. But I feel like Christopher's character never had a chance. I felt like in the show. Anyway, in the movie, we're looking at Christopher's father and his journey as a gangster. And I don't know. I just don't feel like the way that I saw it, and maybe this is because I'm coming from a position where I love The Sopranos, so I'm being super judgmental. But to me, it just felt like the main focus was on everybody replicating the performances of the characters in the show. And they did do a very good job of that. Like, I think that Vera Farmiga was so good at portraying Livia. But, like, I was so focused on that. It just felt like it was, I don't know, like a copy and paste of like those characters again, but younger.
How good can they be at copying, essentially?
Yeah, like it's almost like that was all the focus and that the storyline was secondary to it. I don't know. And then there was the other side of it was that it was looking at the beginnings of some black gangsters in New York and their history. And I don't think that they gave that story enough time to sort of breathe either. It kind of ended really abruptly and I was like, I don't know what's happening here now.
And does that appear in The Sopranos?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. Well, maybe to a little bit. A little
every
bit.
Now and then, yeah.
But it's a side story. I don't know.
Okay. Well, I just wasn't sold. Maybe I'll go in with low expectations and that will help a little bit.
Yeah. I know other people that did like it, so it could just be me being super negative about it, but it just didn't grab me.
I can understand that, like where it's sort of like, yeah, you maybe need to watch it without having seen it to like
maybe
not have the expectation of the series. I don't know.
Yeah. And I think it's almost like I watch every gangster movie now and I expect it to be Goodfellas and it never is. And because it almost feels like I think everything that's produced now, it's just like, I don't know, I'm going on a rant here, but I feel like maybe everything is trying to be Goodfellas again and they can't it. And I just don't think there's been a good gangster film since like The Departed.
The Departed. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Sorry, anyway. I can't hear that and not say it. The Departed.
The Departed.
We're going to the pack. Let's finish Is It Worth It on a high. Summer, you've been watching Succession, which I've been trying to get Kieran to watch with me, and, you know, he only heard it about 10 times over the weekend, so I think we will be watching it. I'm excited.
Oh, excellent. I'm surprised he's
Don't even get me started. Do not. It's been a year because it won all these Emmys last year, so I've had it on my watch list for that long.
Wow, come on, Kieran. Do better, as you say.
Do better.
So, yeah, Succession is back for a third season, and we're only a few episodes in, but already you can tell it's going to be explosive. So in case you've never watched it, Kieran, Succession is a series following the Roy family, who own the media empire Waystar Royco. So the conglomerate is kind of a mix of Disney and News Corp, but it has theme parks and cruise ships and a right-wing TV network, very much like Fox News. So we enter the story as the family patriarch Logan Roy is about to celebrate his 80th birthday and step down as CEO. That's what everyone thought, but he doesn't. Oh. And then that triggers a Shakespearean corporate drama that is genuinely some of the best TV that I've seen in a long time. And the real tension is between him and his second eldest son, Kendall Roy, which I think is a fabulous name, because Kendall was supposed to take over as CEO. So this third season, it's like, I don't want to give too much away, but it's really Logan and Kendall are against each other. And it's going to, like, make the family have huge rifts or not. I mean, I can't say too much without giving it away. So the characters are all selfish and, like, awful and awful
rich
to each other. Yeah, rich people are the worst.
When you're born that rich.
I would say when you're born that rich and you've got someone who had to be cutthroat their whole life to be successful, because Logan, he's cutthroat. He doesn't give a damn, even when it comes to his own family. And that's probably saying too much again. So everyone in the show, all the actors are brilliant. There's even Sarah Snook, a little shout out to an Australian from South Australia. She's flawless. They're all flawless. But another favorite of mine is Brian Cox, who plays the patriarch. He's just got this face that you just want to, like, you can see stories in his wrinkles. You know, one of those faces. Everyone is brilliant. But Brian Cox actually has been in the news recently because he's releasing a memoir where he calls Johnny Depp overrated and says Quentin Tarantino films are very surface level, and I'm on board.
Yeah.
I want to read this memoir. Yes. So obviously season one and season two had jaw-dropping finales, so I'm expecting big things from the end of season three as well.
Exciting. I can't wait to watch. And now moving on to reality roundup time. I have to be honest, last week of The Bachelorette was kind of boring, but at the same time, a lot of stuff went down.
Yeah.
Did you guys watch? Yeah?
Yeah. You're so right.
I'm behind, guys.
That's okay. Catch me up. That's all right. So I'll just talk about, like, a couple of moments. So there was a great conversation between Holly and Brooke that many people have applauded, with Holly telling Brooke that gender isn't something that matters for her and it's all about who a person is on the inside. She said that the only issue that she's ever faced with people in terms of the dating world is that people doubt that she is bi simply because she hasn't had a girlfriend before. And Brooke replies, "I look at all my different past partners and there are girls and guys. Some have done transitions and some are non-binary. And I love each and every one of them for their different reasons and what they've taught me. So I completely and utterly get that. It's not about physical things. It's not about genitalia," she adds. "All my life, people have tried to put me into boxes, categories, label me, and I've been called names. I think you set your own path and nothing really defines you unless you want it to." So people loved that aired on national TV.
Yeah, just selfishly, really quickly, I watched that and I was like, finally, someone's put into words what I try to tell people. Because I think I use the term pansexual just because, like, people need a label.
Yeah.
But I always, people come back and they're like, "Does that mean you like pans?" And I'm like,
oh,
stop
that's
it.
Such a stupid joke.
Or Peter Pan, I get. But just to tell a little bit about my story, I remember when I was, like, not even coming out, like, Holly even said she didn't really come out to her family. When I was trying to explain to my parents who I am, I said, hey, Mum, if Dad turned out not to be a man, would you still love Dad? And Mum was like, yeah. And I said the same to my dad, and he said, yeah. And I'm like, well, that's who I am. Like, I love whoever I love. It doesn't matter what they have on their body. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, when I saw that, I was like, this is so beautiful and really important moment that they've televised.
Yeah. Especially an authentic moment like that, because in The Bachelor, like, in particular, there have been a bunch of moments that just seem to, I don't know, almost like fetishize bisexuality, and they kind of, I don't know, I just think that they've not treated it with enough respect previously. So,
well, there was that whole thing on Bachelor in Paradise a couple years ago with Meagan Marks, and she was seen in the trailer kissing someone with long hair, and people assumed that it was a woman, and they wanted you to assume that it was a woman, and it was a man.
Aww.
And yeah, so there was, yeah, they've not done a good job in the past. But then on Thursday night, bum, 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 four intruders entered and four original contestants were let go, including Love Seat Thief Jess.
Hmm.
Well, bye.
Jess. Yeah. No one likes Jess.
Sorry.
I kind of thought that it was quite early for intruders, if I'm being totally honest, and it's probably a bit much, but apparently one of the guys who left, Matt, is going to be returning to tell Brooke all the behind-the-scenes secrets about the other contestants.
I liked Matt. I was kind of, I was a bit sad when he left. I thought he was interesting.
Yeah.
But I don't remember him. Yeah. Sorry.
That's the thing. When, like, these people were let go, it's not like we had a real chance to get to know people, but other people.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the key, because, like, you said it perfectly, Marnie. So much happened, but it was kind of like, meh.
Yeah.
So maybe they did it too soon. And if we saw someone like David or Carissa go, because they've had so much airtime, maybe that would have been more gripping.
Jamie Lee, that would have been a...
Ugh. She almost... She was number five.
Oh. I would love to know how that works. Like, if the producers are like, you got to do it last.
Like, yeah, probably.
I reckon they do that.
Like, and then she's, like, wouldn't you just be kind of like, oh, do I have to? It's really mean.
That well, I think she to. Was crying. Was she crying? Am I misremembering that?
I'm not sure. As I say, a lot happened. I can't remember any of it. I chatted to Jess last week for Yahoo Lifestyle, your favourite, and she also said that she didn't see it coming, that there'd be intruders so early and that she'd get the boot. And then she said that she didn't really have time to get to know Brooke and said that it was a mutual thing, which I thought was kind of funny. You don't mutually decide that. Yeah.
Yeah, she was like, no, I don't, I, you know, that rose, like, don't do it.
Yeah.
Honestly, but then it's fine.
Why would you say she didn't have time to get to know her and then say it was mutual?
And she was like, there was no connection. True. Like, I don't know. She was probably just trying to be like, I don't really care. And I mean, to be fair, what, it was four episodes. I don't know how many weeks that is in Bachelor time, but she had no real time other than cocktail parties. So, eh, whatever. But the one thing that she did get fired up about, which I thought was interesting, was the idea that contestants might hook up in the mansion. Something that we know that Brooke herself spoke about earlier this year, saying that she would be okay with it if it happened. So when I asked her about the rumors, Jess said, yeah, you know what? I hate that because, you know, yes, it's men and women and some of the women are bisexual and that's how they identify. But this whole thing that everyone's going to hook up was just, it was insane to me because it didn't happen whatsoever. You know, we formed really great friendships with each other and there was nothing like that that happened. You know, there was no hooking up, there was no sexual tension from my end anyway, or that I could see. Yeah, just the whole premise that was going to happen, that was just strange to me, and everyone needs to get that out of their head, that a bunch of lesbians or queer women and bisexual men or just straight men together were not all going to hook up with each other. And her comments came shortly after fellow eliminated contestant Beck admitted to my colleague Lachlan that it never crossed her mind to flirt with anyone else besides Brooke. We were all in there for Brooke and it was really important that we got to know her, she said. I definitely think post-show I would be surprised if nothing happened between any of the contestants, but there was nothing within the show that happened.
Hmm.
Which I thought was interesting. Yeah.
That's romantic.
What?
Like, toward, it's romantic towards Brooke, that everybody's yeah. only there for
yes,
her.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's romantic that they were all platonic.
Alrighty, that is all we have time for today, guys. Thank you so much for joining us this week on Pop Fix and this season. You know, thanks so much for joining us this season.
God. Along the journey, y'all.
Yeah. We are your weekly fix pop culture news, but we're taking a break, so don't expect us every week. But please subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you're listening right now. And if you could please leave us a 5-star rating and review, we'd very much appreciate it. It helps people find us, and we love that for us. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter. We are at PopFix Podcast, and you can find our group on Facebook if it says the same thing. And yes, as I said, we would love to see you guys sharing to your Insta stories when you're listening. And make sure you are following us on social, because you'll be able to keep up to date with when we come back with season 4. Samma, where can we find you on Insta?
You can find me at @SammaRose_.
And Steph?
I'm at Steph Nitzo.
And you can find me at Marnie Dixit. We will be off enjoying our break, and we will be back in a bit. Chat to you then. Bye.
Bye. Miss you already.